The parasha has one of the most complicated parashiyot that the rabbis are struggling to give an understanding to. As a matter of fact, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he offers 10 different interpretations in order to explain the chet of Memeriva. We learned this when we were young. God told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to the rock and talk to the rock. And Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. And this sounds like a very basic sin. I mean, if God told him to speak to the rock, so why would he hit the rock? I mean, if God would tell us, go speak to the rock, so he'd speak to the rock. I mean, what are you hitting the rock for? And then because of this, God gets angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. And God says to Moshe, because you did this and you didn't listen, so you're not going into Israel and you're going to lose the whole situation. So let's read the text first, just so we get a little understanding. By the Ben Adonai Moshe Lemor, Kach et ha-mateh, take the stick, Vakel et ha-eda, and gather the people, Ata v'aron ahicha. Vidibartem el asela, speak to the rock, le'enehem, ve'natan memav. That means there's water in the rock. It's a miracle. If you take the word sela, which is the rock, sela is samich lamid ayin. Well, how do you spell samich?
Samich mem.
Good. How do you spell lamid?
Lamid mem dal.
Lamid mem dal. And how do you spell ayin? Good. So the middle letters spells mayim, which means in the selah there's mayim. In the middle of the selah there's mem mem yud, which is mayim over there. So you see, there's a remnant. Borei Olam says v'natan memav. In the selah, it'll give the water that's inherently inside the middle letters. Anyway, v'otetelehem mayim min haselah v'shkita et ha'edah, you'll give the people to drink. V'yikach Moshe et ha'mateh min lifnei Adonai, kasher tzivahu, he takes the stick. He gathers the people. V'yomer lehem shemunah hamorim, not hamorim, shemunah hamorim. Listen, you rebels. Amen. Asela azen asir lechemai. You want me to bring water? Vayarim Moshe et yado. So Moshe Rabbeinu lifts his hand. And vayach et asela b'mateu pa'amayim. He hits it twice. Vayach tumayim rabbim. Vatesh ta'ayda u'b'iram. And he gives them to drink. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe on the spot. Ya'an lo he'emantem bi lakdisheni l'nei b'nei Yisrael. Lachen lo tabiyu et ha'kal azeh la'alets asher natati lahem. I'm not going to... You didn't sanctify my name. Lachen lo tabiyu et ha'kahal hazeh. You're not going to bring this kahal el ha'aretz, to the land. Hema memeriba. This is the waters of strife. Now, of course, Rabotai, this parasha is written over here. It's also written in Devarim. Where's the Chumash, Rabotai?
Do you like a lot of
trouble? I need a Devarim. Okay, thank you, thank
you.
Baruch Shekivanti. I need a Devarim. There's a shortage of Hamashim.
I want to give the mitzvah to somebody else.
Give them a mitzvah again.
No.
Give them a mitzvah. It's important to know both parashiyot because there's nuances in the language. If you go to in Sefer Devarim, so it repeats the story over there. So the pasuk says over there, Mem Tet. By the bear of the wine, Moshe Lemor, God tells Moshe, go to the mountain over there. And he tells him, Umut Bahar. I said, Ata Ole. Why? Al Asher Me'alten Bi Betok B'nei Yisrael. Because you made a Me'ilah Betok B'nei Yisrael. B'memri Bat Kadesh Mitbarsim. Al Asher Lo Kedeshtem Oti. So over here, God tells him, that's the reason why you're dying. Al Asher Me'alten, you abused the privilege that I gave you. And as a result, Loki dash Timothy, you didn't sanctify my name for some reason, betok b'nei Yisrael, and therefore you're going to die. The Ramban and many of the Mefarshim over here are trying to understand what the sin was. So first we have to read Rashi. What does Rashi say happened over here? The Ramban is famous. I want to thank Siyahu Asha for bringing us such a beautiful a new chumash over here with beautiful fonts. The words are jumping off the page here. Very easy to read. Chazak Baruch Siyahu. Achet b'Moshe v'Aaron b'me meriba elo mefursam b'katuv. Wow. The Ramban holds that the sin of Mem Meribah is not Mefursam Bakatuv. It doesn't really say what the sin was. You read the story, you can start extrapolating what you think the sin was. But it doesn't say really in the Pasuk what the sin was. God doesn't tell Moshe because you hit the rock, because you got... He didn't say, God just said, you didn't sanctify my name, and you did this and that. But it doesn't tell him exactly what went wrong over here. Then as he finished, that she explained, "Mipnei shesiva otam v'dibartem el asela, v'lo amar v'ekitem." Oh, so that's how we know when we were young. That God told Moshe Rabbeinu v'dibartem. He didn't say v'ekitem. He didn't say to hit the rock. She'ilu d'bero. If he would have spoke to the rock, haya kadosh baruch hu mitkadesh le'enei ha'eda. There would have been a big Kiddush Hashem before they spoke to the rock. Even though I would say that the Kiddush Hashem was if you hit a rock, by the way. If you hit a rock and 18 million gallons of water come out of it, to me that's not such a bad Kiddush Hashem, by the way. But that she holds that if we were to talk to the rock, the talking of the rock would have even been a bigger Kiddush Hashem. Well, what's the bigger Kiddush Hashem? The Omrim. The people would have made Kadahomet. They would have said, Umas Helazeh. The rock is an inanimate. The rock cannot talk. The rock cannot hear. But it listens. It's obedient. When you tell the rock to do something, the rock listens. Us, that we have brains and we can listen and we can hear. So when God tells us to do something, we have to be obedient. So God, according to that Shia Kadosh, the claim of Moshe is, you made Kiddush Hashem. There's no question. Hitting the rock, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. That people were wowed by such a thing. Hitting a rock should not bring out millions of gallons of water. However, there was a higher level. There was an opportunity to give the people a Musar over here. There was an ethical lesson that could have been taught to the people. And you squandered that opportunity. What was the lesson the people could have said? They would have said, if the rock hearkens to the word of God, the word, which means you don't have to hit the rock in order for it to listen. Just the word of God, so kadahomet us, God doesn't have to punish us for hitting us, would be giving us God to be yisurim. So God doesn't have to smite us in order for us to listen to the word of God. We should listen to the word of God on the word, when he tells us to do it. So you stole that lesson from them, and it would have been a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, because the people would have been more observant. The people would have learned the lesson, they would have become more religious. So therefore, God's claiming them like Disheni. You took away the Kiddush Hashem that could have came out of this over there. There would have been a tremendous amount of hit olirut. You know, there would have been People are getting excited. Says, oh, you know, something has to be religious. The next day, they all get up for minyan. So you never get up for minyan. The rock, the Hashem, God spoke to the rock, and the rock listened. The rock listened to the word of God. Well, we only have to wait till something happens, and we go to shul. God has to hit us first to go to Bet Knesset. But now that you hit the rock, now the people say, okay, you got to get a hit before you listen. So therefore, you brought it one notch. That's chitat, that she, in the sin of Memiriba. It's a valid interpretation. It's the most pshat. The Ramban comes along and says, Avalonit haveruli. If I don't like it. Doesn't like the Pirush Rashi. Why doesn't he like the Pirush Rashi? Everybody likes the Pirush Rashi, then a man comes along. Not because he's Ashkenaz, Mark. That's not that. No, you're learning it wrong, Mark. Not because, wasn't that the word Ashkenazi? The Ramban doesn't like Rashi over here. Ki me'achar shisiva kach et amateh, yes, the mashmao shiyakebo. Exactly. Why are you telling him to take the stick? Take the stick and speak to the rock. Yeah, you don't speak rock language. I speak rock language. You know what the language of the rock is? You hit it. That's the language of the rock. When you talk to a rock, you talk Swahili to a rock. You take a stick and you hit it. That's how you talk to a rock. So Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Rambam, what avod is that? If God wanted him to speak to the rock, he would have told him, go speak to the rock. Exactly. What are you going to take the stick for? So therefore, it must be that wasn't the avod. That really, that's how you talk to a rock. You take a stick and you hit the rock, and that's considered the rock language. Also then, what's the problem over here? V'ilu haya ritzonot b'dibur b'lvad. If all he wanted was dibur, ma mateh hazeh b'yado. What are you telling him to take a stick? It's a strong question that Rabban has on Shitat Rashi. V'chen b'makot b'mitzrayim. In the makot b'mitzrayim, every time he took the stick was functional. Take the stick and throw it on the ground, turn it into a snake. Take the stick and hit the water. Take the stick and hit the ground. So till now, Moshe Rabbeinu's career, any time he was told to take the stick was being used. It wasn't just time for show. So therefore, it was fitting. So therefore, well, why should this change over him? Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have a precedent. The Hula Kotbo, says the Rambam. ולפעמים יאמר נטה את ידך ורצונו לומר להכות במטה. And then he says the question that we ask, ואין הנס בדיבור גדול מן ההכאה. You're measuring miracles. Rabban says no bigger miracle if you got rock from talking, you got water, or if you got water from hitting. כי הכל שווה אצל הסלע. To a rock, any way you'll get it to produce 80 million gallons is going to be miraculous. So therefore, you can't say that he minimized the miracle, like that she said. The odd, lama yomar bazim me'alten bi. Why would God use in Devarim the word me'alten? That's lashon me'ila. V'asaba'a b'dibur el aselahu, mashin iskab b'ma'aseh, סיבת שיומרו והיא שומעת, כי השם יוציא מים מן הסלע הזה, כדרך היא שמעה את כל אמרי השם, וכן עשו, ויקילו משה ואהרן את הקהל לפני הסלע, והנה הסלע שומעת, אומרו כן לכולם. According to Rashi, what's the me'ila me'altem bi? What's the me'ila over here? Well, I can learn the me'ila according to Rashi, is that, what's me'ila? Me'ila means that when you have something that's Kodesh and you use Kodesh for a non-holy purpose, I have a Korban. The Korban's Kodesh. And now I go and I take the Korban and I use it. I eat the meat. So I benefit from someone. That's called Me'ila B'Kodesh. Like it says, Kodesh Shitat Rashi, the word Me'ila means that God told them to take the stick. And instead of speaking, he used the stick with hitting. So that's Me'ila B'Kodesh. You took the holy stick. That stick had the name of Hashem on it. So you made Me'ila the stick. And that's why I don't have a problem with that. But the Rambam doesn't like it. V'ta'anot rabot v'mefarshim. He comes along and says, he brings another opinion down. והרב רבי משה, who's רבי משה? רמב״ם.
רמב״ם.
הרמב״ם, now you're hearing הרמב״ם's opinion. הרמב״ם weighed in. Where does he weigh in over here? He weighs in Masechet Sanhedrin. He writes his opinion what the Haimei Meribah was. Sabar bo od sebara. Yeah, it doesn't say hitting that behind him. Amar, hit'o alav ha-shalom, hu shenata lecad ha-ragzanut. They got angry at the people. What's the avon? She'amar, shim'una ha-morin. The people ask for water. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says, ah, you rebel. Dikdek alav Hashem. God got angry at him. Shiye adam kamu ko'es lefnei adat b'nei Yisrael v'mkom she'en ra'ui bo ha-ka'af. Which means the Rambam says this was not a place where Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. Which means the people are asking for water. They're not asking for caviar. They're not asking for, you know, filet mignon. They're not asking for some luxury. They're asking for basic necessities. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Shemuel Hamorin." So Harambam says that's the place where the anger, which is when they worship the egel, Moshe gets angry. No problem. Moshe Rabbeinu actually broke the luchot in anger, and God said, "Chazak Baruch, Yesh Koyach." God told him, "Yishal Koyach, Ayesh Shibarta." And when it comes to over here, God says, what are you getting angry over here for? There's no reason. Stop just to get angry. And then he says, V'chol kayotzeh bazeh. This is an amazing Rambam. All this bedin ha'ish ahu from Moshe Rabbeinu is called Hilul Hashem. Why did the Hilul Hashem get angry? Tell me that the sin is midot. He lost his cool. The Rambam says, no, God didn't say it's a midot issue. You didn't make Hiddush Hashem, Hilul Hashem, Moshe. Why is Hilul Hashem? So he says an amazing thing. Rabotai mipenei shemitinu otav kulam umedevarav ayu lemedin. When you're looking at Moshe, everybody looks at Moshe and they learn from Moshe. Every action that he does and every word that he says, Moshe Rabbeinu is a role model. But it's more. V'ayu mekavim lagia b'em al aslachat ha'olam hazeh v'olam haba. They know that if you want to get to olam haba and have the best place in olam hazeh as well, you just have to model Moshe Rabbeinu. So the students of Moshe would look at Moshe Rabbeinu and scrutinize every single item that he would do, and even his reaction, if he smirked, if he moved his, they studied it. Everything was done with kavanot. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a role model. You're not some. You're being watched by millions of people, and they're watching you with kavanot to learn. They're not watching you some. Ve'ech yira'e alav ha-ka'as. How can you show the people ka'as? והוא מן הפעולות הרעות, חז ושלום, שהוא לא היה מדבר עם שחלים. He wasn't talking to low-life people, sort of the דור דעה. They were monitoring every move that he made. ולא עם מי שאין לו מעלה. אבל אישה קטנה שבנשיהם, the smallest lady in דור המדבר, הייתה כי יחזקאל בן בוזי. The smallest woman had greater prophecy than the prophet Yehezkel. So who's he standing in front of Moshe Rabbeinu? He's standing in front of a nation of prophets. V'chol mat shiyomaru ya'aseh yibhanuhu. Which means, you talk in front of bourgeoisie, they miss the nuances, they miss the subtleties, they miss, they didn't catch it. But you're talking in front of prophets. So the prophets, when they're looking at Moshe Rabbeinu, they're psychoanalyzing every single... There's some people that sit in the shi'ur, and they come to me after the shi'ur, and they say, Rabbi, when I'm sitting in the shi'ur, I'm looking at the people, and I'm looking at their reactions, I'm looking what they're thinking, and I can see this guy enjoying... They're studying the whole... Never another guy sits there, he says, whatever he gets, he gets, he hears it, he doesn't hear it. But then you have another guy, when he's part of the shi'ur, he wants to get the whole feeling of the whole item, to get everybody's reactions. So could you imagine Dora Midbar when Moshe Rabbeinu is getting up there in front of the people, they're all watching him and every... So when Moshe Rabbeinu's Beka'as, already he's sending a message. And the message is, according to Rambam, it's received. They don't think that was missed. That Shemunah Morim, the people understood exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu. He's conveying Ka'as. It must be that this is the moment of Ka'as. The Rambam says, the Ka'ashera'u Sheka'as. You see, I'm reading you this because many people make a mistake in the Rambam here. They say the Rambam's interpretation is he got angry. That's not the sin of Moshe, according to Rambam. Not that he got angry. But that's not the sin. The sin is the next line. When they saw that he got angry, Amru. Shehu ala b'shalom en bo pechitut midah. Moshe Rabbeinu is not a nervous person. He has no deficiencies. Must be this anger over here is a justified anger. Moshe Rabbeinu is not like a regular person that loses his cool. En bo pechitut klal. So they're thinking, they're analyzing. Why then would he get angry then? Why would he call us hamorim at this moment? Velule shehaya yodeya shehashem ka'as aleinu. Must be God's angry at us. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying this anger to tell us that Hashem is angry at us for asking for water. Wow. And therefore now they have a message from God through Moshe Rabbeinu's ka'as. They said, why would he get angry? Unless he's trying to give us a message. Listen, Shekhinah mid abinu b'tuk gilono. His emotions are the emotions of God. So the people see Moshe Rabbeinu angry, and they turn, they say, wow, Hashem's angry at us. Moshe is Hashem. Moshe is the Eved Hashem. Moshe is the transmitter of Hashem. How do we know what Hashem's emotions are? Through Moshe. Says the Ramban and says...
No, then why punish Moshe?
What? What do you want to punish Moshe?
We
want to take our
punish for that, no?
V'lule shteya yodeya shashem ka'asem v'sha'anachnu ich'asnu oto. Must be we angered God for asking for water. Lo haya ko'es. You ready, Gabe? V'anachnu lo matanu l'ashem yit'ale sheka'as. God wasn't angry. Where do you see God was angry? They asked for water. No, I was asking for water. So according to Rambam, the Avon of Moshe was misrepresentation. Amazing Rambam. Everybody learns it pashut. They don't learn the whole Rambam. They say, ah, he got angry. He got angry, ka'as. That's it. No! I was stuck. Well, you need to ask a question, right? Ask a question. Listen, Rambam Shita. The Rambam holds Moshe Rabbeinu, everything you do, the people know it's the mitzvah, it's of Hashem, you're speaking the will of Hashem. So therefore, when you come, even in one word, Hamorim, you just sent the message to 3 million people, Hashem's angry at us. Only problem was, God wasn't angry at us at that time. So he says, V'anachnu lo matanu. What did God say? Ka'ata matev, akilat ha'idah. God was talking in a very calm tone. Take the stick, gather the people, and go bring them water. He says, V'hine, hitanu safek mesefakei ha'torah. I finally unraveled the secret. She'ne'emru bo devarim rabim, v'nish'ad pa'amim rabim, eze chet chata Moshe. He's ureh ma she'ne'emar bo, ma she'amarnu bo. He's not going to look at the text and look the way I interpreted it. V'ha'emet yored darko. And you'll see it. And that's what I said. Rambam doesn't like Rambam. Rambam believes in his opinions. Rambam's not slouch. Rambam says what he says, and that's it. You don't got to open up any other books. I gave you the amen. Now God says, Bihananya. Don't look at the next. Don't even continue the Rambam. Finish. Rambam, to show you how great the Rambam was. What would you do after Rambam is so convinced that his pshat is a pshat? I made you a darko. People have been asking me this question. I finally unraveled it. So you expect the Ramban to come along and say, Umilanu gadol kemo Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, Yarum hodo, Yarich yamav batov, Ushnotav ben Aimin, Nero Yair. He comes along in the next line. והוסיף הבל על הבלים. He says, הבל הבלים. What is this pshat? What is this? He says, not enough for the other stuff he wrote. הוסיף הבל על הבלים. More הבלים. Wow. The Rabban comes along and says, what are you talking about? There's a pshat. Which is the Rabban was so convincing. We're simple people. That's it. We take off a hat. We're sold. And the Rambam, who's a contemporary of the Rambam, is not sold by it. Oh, yeah, Havel, Havelim, what are you selling us over here? The Brooklyn Bridge over here giving us? He says, what are you talking? The Pasuk says, Ma'altem bi, Meritem bi, Lo he'emantem bi. What's that got to do with Ka'at? What's that got to do with Ka'at? אין העונש בעבור שכעס. He says, כעס? Then I'm back into eight other places where Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. And you don't see God getting angry, you know. So therefore, what are you talking about? כעס, hey, got angry over there, got angry over there, got angry over there. Now what do you want to tell me? Mamrim, he calls the Jewish people Mamrim every Monday and Thursday, the Rambam says. Mamrim, he says, Mamrim, Moshe, Mamrim, and you never see God have any claim against calling them Mamrim. So therefore, sorry. And then he says, and by the way, God was angry at them, by the way. God was angry when they asked for the water. And he proves it. He was angry. So don't tell me he wasn't angry. So he wasn't going to do this. Boom, boom, boom. Rabotai. The whole thing over here. Vakarov min ha-devarim. He says, he asked me what I like. Rashi, I don't like. Rambam, Abel Avalim. He said, I go with the Rabbeinu Hananel. He said, he asked me to choose amongst the... This is a very, very... We thought it was an easy story of it. The Rishonim are struggling to understand the head of Moshe Rabbeinu. שכתב כי החטא, you know what the sin was? הוא אומרם נוציא לכם מים מן הסלע. He says מן הסלע הזה נוציא. You want us to take water out from the rock? Us? Oh, you us. וראוי שיאמרו יוציא השם. So the avod over here, according to the Ben Yohanan, was Moshe Rabbeinu switched the yud for a nun. Instead of saying, Amin HaSel HaZeh Yotzi, you want God to take out water? He came along and said, you want us to take, us? You got a bomb. Now, of course, the people, I mean, it's such a fine sin. The people know that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do anything on his own. The people know that all the miracles in Egypt, it wasn't Moshe Ve'yaminu Badonai, Moshe Avdo. They know Moshe Rabbeinu is only working for God. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't that type of person that was looking to take any credit. Vayish Moshe Anab. But still, the language, the Tzaddikim, God gets them on every, item. You understand? The Tzaddik, Chambaruch used to tell us always, the Tzaddik is wearing a white suit. So every little black spot is magnified. But the regular guy is wearing a black suit. Even if he has a lot of stains, you don't see them. So Moshe Rabbeinu is wearing a white suit. He's a tzaddik. So, Nutsi, Yotsi. He didn't mean it. If you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu, that's where we talk. Okay, but you have to be Moshe. That's where regular guys talk. You're Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore they get him on the Nutsi, Yotsi. When they ask for food, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Betet Hashem lachem ba'erev, lechem and the mayim, matzah. Ve'ulai, the Rabbeinu Hananel talking, hashvu ha'am, the people might have thought, ki Moshe ve'aharon bechokhmatam hotziu lahem mayim min ha'sela. Hold on, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu had a trick up his sleeve. Maybe this was Moshe Rabbeinu's item. V'zeh lo kidashtem oti. Now I understand that Rabban says. When God says, you didn't sanctify me. You took the credit as if this is one of your magic tricks. Oh. So this is the way he learns. Now, based on this Ramban, there's a famous Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai says, that there was supposed to be a Yud in the Torah in that word. It was supposed to say, HaMenaseh La'azeh Yotzi. Moshe Rabbeinu put a Nun there instead, he put a Notzi. So therefore, God punishes a person, midah keneged midah. And therefore, when you look at early in the Torah, when the pasuk says, "Ve'ish Moshe anav mikol adam asher pnei adamah," the word anav is missing a yud. God says, "Because you took off the yud, why? Because has shalom." The anava is now a little reduced because you came along and you took credit. Notzi. So you took the yud away from this. So we're taking the yud away from the anav. Nothing gets by. Nothing gets by. The yud, you have to pay for that. You have to pay for that. Then the Ben Ish Chai comes along and says, and by the way, both Rabbeinu Hananel and Rashi could be emes. He says, we know the rule, avera goredet avera. What happened? By saying Notzi, now that caused them this. Once he made that mistake, so then, you understand, Avirot come in pairs. So this is the way he explains the Pasuk. The Pasuk writes, the Pasuk says, Vayare Moshe et Yado Vayach et Asela. So Ben Ish Chai says, the word Yado could mean Yado is hand, he lifted his hand, but Yado can also mean Yudo, the letter Yud. Vayarim Moshe et Yado. He removed the Yud from the word. Vayarim Moshe et Yado. He took the Yud out of the word Yotzi and he put a Nun. That's the first Avera. Once already he took the Yud out, Vayachet Asela. Avera Gvaridet Avera. This part to that. You do. Explain what I mean.
I said there's a yud in Yado.
What did you hear me say?
I told the rabbi said Yado. I heard you, rabbi.
Okay. I said Yado. The yud of Nosi and Yosi.
Right.
Moshe et Yado. Moshe Rabbeinu took the yud out of the word Yosi and he put the nun instead. That's what the sin was. Yado, the yud of Nosi to Yosi.
I got it. Who's
that
to do Yado?
Nothing.
I don't.
Okay, no problem. I wonder if anybody understands what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I agree. Gabe Levin, the only one that admits it. Everybody else is not dead. Yeah, I got it. Go on. Okay, maybe somebody on the recording will understand what I'm saying. You know, trust me, the Rambam was here. He explained the Shita. Okay, Rabotai. Which is, he took the yud out of Notzi. Hanona, David, thank you.
I think you're all losing your time.
Okay, now, this is... No, that's fine. But today I want to say Hadush, Rabotai. Today I want to say Hadush. So that's a beautiful interpretation of Rabbeinu Hananel, of Rashi, of Harambam. Each one has their mahalach and the explanation. But let's go slow. If you look at the Pesukim with the proper analysis, you'll see something over there. Borei Olam says to Moshe, "Kach et hamateh, take the stick, ve'akel et ha'edah, take the stick and gather the people." Interesting. It sounds like the stick. Oh, the stick is like gathering. The stick has to do with something, the gathering the people over here. He didn't tell him to take the stick to hit the rock. Here it says, Ka'ata Mateh Ba'kele Ta'idah. And then, period. V'dibatem elasela. Okay. V'dibatem lehem ma'im. No problem. So what does the Pasuk write then? The Pasuk says he took the stick. The Pasuk says, ויקח משה את המטה מלפני אדוני כאשר סיבה. What is this? ויקח משה את המטה מלפני אדוני. He didn't take the stick at it. He took את המטה מלפני אדוני כאשר סיבה. ויקילו משה ואנו את הקהל לפני הסנה. So then he took the stick and he did what he's supposed to do. He gathered the people over there. ויאמרו להם שמונה המורים. Then ויאר משה את ידו ויאך את הסלע ומתאו פעמיים ויסיו מים רבים. And then God says, להקדישני, and you made me'ilah. So there's a rabbi called Rav Shimon Schwab. He says an unbelievable interpretation to explain these nuances in the Pesukim. He says, in order to understand Parashat Chukat, you need to go back to Parashat Korah. You go back to Parashat Korah. You remember after Korah made his revolution against God? Against Moshe Rabbeinu? Lav lachem, lav lach. So what happened? God wants to show everybody that Aharon is the chosen one. So what does God say? Everybody should give a stick. And put their stick in the Ohel Moed. Yeah? And tomorrow morning we'll see whoever's stick is going to flourish. He's the chosen one. And all of a sudden the next day, the stick of Aharon starts to flourish and starts to produce almonds and flowers and all that stuff. And everybody realizes that what? That obviously this is the chosen one. Listen to the pasuk over here. Vayedaber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael vayitenu elav kol nesi'ehem, each president of each tribe, matel lenasi echad, matel lenasi echad. He collected sticks from each tribe. Shnem asar matot. 12 sticks. Umate Aharon betok matotam, and Aharon was right in the middle. Vayanach Moshe et matot lefnei Adonai.
Oh.
Is it, where did Moshe Rabbeinu put the sticks? Lefnei Hashem. Vayim imach orat. Vayavo Moshe Eloi la'idut. Vayine parach matei Aharon. Matei Aharon flourished. ויוצא פרח ויחצית ויגמות שקדים. ויוצא משה את כל המטות מלפני אדוני. He took all the sticks that were in front of Hashem, and each one took the stick back. ויאמר השם אל משה, השב את מטה אהרון לפני העדות. Go take Aaron's stick and put it back in the spot where it was לפני Hashem. Here's the king. לאות לבני מרי. This will be a sign for the rebels that went against Moshe Rabbeinu. Let them see the stick, and they'll know.
Reminder.
Exactly. Reminder that you don't start with Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the pasuk says, "Utchal tilunotam me'alai." When they see the stick, utchal tilunotai. Automatically, the stick will heal them from their complaints. That means, any time that they see the stick, they're going to remember, oh, don't start with Moshe. That means any time there's going to be a moment of rebellion, and the stick is shown to them, it'll remove the claims. Beautiful. Now we go back to Al Parasha. God says to take the stick. Let's take the stick. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood the proper stick. ויקח משה את המטה מלפני אדוני כאשר סיבהו. Because God told him, take המטה. המטה is the stick of lessons, פרשה. We don't need you to make any מכות anymore. Which means he understood that what? Could be there's going to be an uprising. The people want water. The people are thirsty. They're going to come now and make a coup d'etat. So what does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? You need the stick of utchal tilunotam. You need the stick of peace. You need the stick that is the mediator. You need the stick that calms everybody down. Now you have a new amulet in your pocket. You have this new stick over here, the stick that's in the Nefnei Hashem. You bring that stick to the people. You wave it a few times in front of them. And everybody will hold hands and they'll sing the Shana Ba Birushalayim. It'll be fine. ויאמר להם שמעונה המורים המנסה לה. Moshe Rabbeinu, after he waves the stick, what does he call them? Shim'una Morim. God will eventually come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, I told you last week that when you show them the stick, they're not morim anymore. When you show them the stick, and now you call them morim. Now, I told you last week already that this stick over here takes away B'nai Meri. This takes away exactly B'nai Meri. It's Lashon the Pasuk. And now, right after you wave the stick to them, you're still calling them, Lo he'emantem bi. You didn't have emunah, what I told you. That's a lack of emunah. And then, what did you do? And then, Vayarim Moshe Yado Vayachet Asela. Hold it. This stick over here is not a functional stick. This stick over here's purpose is what? It's the stick that was in the Kodesh. The stick is in the Fnei Hashem. And now you took this time out of stick of Egypt. That's a functional stick. The stick of Egypt is for hitting. The stick of Egypt is for making makot. This stick over here is not for hitting. This, exactly. This is only for show. And then when you took a stick that's the Fnei Hashem and you hit, what do we call when you take something that's Kodesh and you use it for personal use?
Me'ilah.
That's Me'ilah. Nah, that's why God comes in Devarim and tells Moshe, Hashem Me'altem Di, that you made a Me'ilah. And therefore that's a novel way of looking at the Pesukim over here. But each one, it's hard to contend against Rav Shimon Schwab, although the Rishonim don't learn like that, but he has nice diukim in the Pasuk, and it's a nice semichut between the two parashiyot.
Not a contradiction.
No, they could squeeze them all together. I agree with that, by the way. You could probably reconcile a lot of these opinions together, like the Ben Ish Chai said this led to that, and so on and so forth. But I came to say one more interpretation today in honor of the morning.
They didn't bring Rook coffee today.
No, they bring me. I got Rooked. They brought me this coffee over here. I got and this is what it says in the Ketoret Mars. V'halo medag lain yafina. The Ketoret was right. In any event, we said another interpretation based on the Tzaddikim, which I believe is a tremendous musar of the time. The Rabbeinu Yonah gives an amazing mashal. The mashal needs understanding. He's talking about the Asirat Yemei Teshuvah, the 10 days of repentance. So he's talking about the sins of a person who doesn't make teshuvah during the 10 days. It's a big avon. If a guy doesn't make, God gets very angry. God doesn't make teshuvah during the 10 days. So he says it's a mashal l'madavad domeh to prisoners that were in the jail. Not that everybody's talking about the jail. So the prisoners that were in the jail, and what happened? A couple of the prisoners escaped. They escaped, and one prisoner didn't escape. He stayed there. So when they came the next day, the warden sees one guy there and says, where's all your friends? They escaped. He says, how come you didn't escape with them? They beat them up. So he goes, the mashal, he says, the nimshal is, Borei Olam says, you had a chance to escape. You could have made teshuvah and you could have saved yourself. And you stayed, boom, you get makot. I always ask on this mashal, what do you want for the guy? The guy did the right thing in the jail case, he stayed. What do you want for the guy? So I understand the teshuvah mashal. But the guy in the jail, he stayed. What do you want the guy? The warden's going to punish him for staying? Well, you reward the guy who broke out? They tell me, you idiot. How come you didn't run with your friends? Well, what do I want to do? It's a jail. I'm following the rules. Explanation is that we explained in previous years. You know why he doesn't run away? Why doesn't he run away? Because he says, I'm innocent. He doesn't believe he made a sin. What am I going to run away for? Let me go to court I didn't do a avon. Oh, so you're a brazen guy. You made an avon and you still think that you're innocent? These other guys, at least they know they're guilty, so they have to run away. So I hold that's an admission of their sin. You're brazen. You say, well, I got to run away for, I'm innocent. I'll get out of here on my own. But it's black and white, you made the avon. So you're brazen. After you sin, you still hold you're innocent. So when a person doesn't make teshuvah, that already is indicating, why do I have to make teshuvah? I'm innocent. God says, not enough you made a sin. But then you have an escape route. Why wouldn't you take the escape route? You know why you wouldn't take the escape route? Because you must feel you don't need to escape. Because you must. So that's already a brazen avon. That's bigger than the avon itself. Hinini nishpat otach al omrech lo hatati. That's the avon. That you made a sin, it's human to sin. But then after you make the sin, you come along and say, lo hatati. When the guy makes me do it, he says, we say, ashamnu bagadnu. He says, lo ashamti, lo bagati, lo. So God says, this is brazen. Bediuk. Admission is the first step. So this is one element of teshuvah. But there's another element that people have when it comes to the concept of teshuvah. And that people struggle with it. They don't believe that teshuvah works. They don't believe it works. Which means the guy committed all these sins his whole life when he was 17 and 18 years old and 19 years old. He committed the worst avirot. When the guy was 18 years old, he was eating things with triangle K on it and all these type of quasi-efsherim. Before he knew that you don't eat triangle K. All the great sins of youth that he was involved in. he was doing these type of sins that are, hideous crimes. And then the rabbi tells him, make the shuvah. Please, Hatati Aviti. What happens to the person? He can't believe that by saying Hatati Aviti Fashati, that it's gone. And unfortunately, what happens is, for the rest of their life, people live with the guilt and the burden of their sins. And what does that end up doing? It weighs them down. And they can't go forward. It's not enough that you have to admit your guilt and make teshuvah. But after you make teshuvah, you have to believe that it worked. You understand what I said? Which means, just like you have to believe that your avirah damaged, that's what Rabbi Nachman said, you have to believe that the teshuva can fix. Because the manashah. Why you make a teshuva? Because you believe that your avirot have power, that your sins have an ability to destroy things. So if you can believe that your avirot can break something, because you have the power, then you also have to believe that your teshuva is able to fix it. You can break it, you can fix it. So you're admitting that you broke something. Good. So that's an admission that you have power. So then you have the same power to break it, you can fix it. That's called teshuvah. But once a person makes teshuvah, you cannot let the avirah, bring you, because that's what the Yetzer HaRa wants. The Yetzer HaRa wants you to feel guilty for the rest of your life and wants to, hold you down. You're not a guy like you. All those avirot that you did, Hashem doesn't love you. Hashem, we say in the prayers in Eshkibin, "Vaser Satan melefanenu maharenu." Take the Satan in front of us and from behind us. The Satan in front of us is trying to make us make sins. I understand that. But what's the Satan behind us, maharenu? That after you made the sin, the Satan comes from behind us after the sin and says, "The Shabbat is not going to help you." Your teshuvah is not good. You think you're such a bad guy. He'll show you Zohar. Yeah, you can't make teshuvah. Yeah. Forget it. You might as well go enjoy yourself because you're on God's excellence. That's the Satan after the sin. He doesn't want you to fix it. And even if you make a teshuvah, he says, well, that's a teshuvah. Teshuvah, you got to fast for 3 weeks, got to put sackcloth, you got to sleep on the floor. A lot of teshuvah is nothing. And then when the person comes along and says what? He's stuck in the mud for the rest of his life. Because all the sins that he did are haunting him. But hey, you made teshuvah. That's teshuvah. And then you cannot do good. You cannot do good so long as you think you're a bad person. The answer that says, you're praying, you think God wants your prayers, you're a rasha. God knows all the sins that you did when you were younger. Your prayers are worthless. Better to stay home. Every time you come to shul, God gets angry. What is this guy doing in my shul over here? Maybe he not remote azerai. Understand? This is a very important point. The most important principle of teshuvah is you have to believe that it works. And that after you make teshuvah, God loves you again, and you're back on the path, and it's fixed, and it's like it never happened, and you're a new person, and you're born again, and the Ramban says, you went from becoming sanui, and mishukat, and mito'av, and rahok, to becoming ahuv, and nehmad, the karov, the yadid, he says. You become God's friend, you become close, you become beloved, you become endeared. How did you go from one extreme to the other? Hatati, aviti, pajati. Teshuvah works. You have to believe in the power of teshuvah, Rabotai.
Oh, to fix
them,
to break
them. Ah, Zagabaru, so God gave us a toolkit. The toolkit is called teshuvah. You're not fixing it, Hashem is fixing it. You're making teshuvah, and Borei Olam puts the pieces back together for you. God has no problem fixing it. This is not human fixing. Humans activate God to make the tikkun for us. But it works!
You understand that whole time.
Sur mera va'aseh tov. David HaMelech was wise when he said, what does it mean, sur mera va'aseh tov? Sur mera means like this, no. You have to move away from thinking that you're bad. You're not ra. Sur mera. You ask a lot of people, I'm a bad guy, I'm a no good, I'm not religious, Hashem hates me. So therefore, once a guy thinks he's bad, why should he do anything? So David HaMelech says, the first thing you have to do is sur mera, you have to move your brain away from that attitude that I'm a bad guy. Sur mera. What do you mean, but I made sins? Did you make the teshuvah? I made the teshuvah, but I got the teshuvah, who knows? No. You make the teshuvah, that's it, you're not bad anymore, you're good. Now you're good, aseh tov, go. Which means, aseh tov means, you have to believe that you're tov. You have to make yourself, it takes mental work. You have to work on yourself. Aseh tov, I'm good, I'm a good person. The Pirkei Avot says, al tihir asafe adas lefne asmecha. You're not allowed to think that you're a rasha. Because if you think you're a rasha, you live up to those expectations of being a rasha. Now I'm not saying you shouldn't make the shuvah, you have to make the shuvah. Put it this way, when a guy comes out of Kippur, what is he supposed to think? I don't know how to do it. But you have a guy coming out of Kippur, what are you doing? You're still depressed after Kippur. You went through the washing machine, you went through the cleaning, and then be happy. Hashem hates me. Okay, so then how are you going to go to the table like this? You have to believe that teshuvah is a big thing. And the Yitzhak will fool you. No, teshuvah only the Baal Shem Tov worked. Because he used to go to the mikveh 15 times a day, and he did tikkunim, and only at the Garden of Vilna, and tikkunim at the Ben Ish Chai. I'm a regular guy. And the explanation is, because based on who we are, on our low level, so our sins damage according to our level also. So therefore, the low level that we're on, our teshuvah is commensurate to our ability to shoot. So therefore, for us, teshuvah works like this. You understand what I'm saying? Now we're going to say a novel interpretation. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw the people come after him for the water, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people, Shimona Morim, listen, you rebels. At that point over there, you don't think Moshe Rabbeinu made Hashbon on himself? The tzaddikim make Hashbon every single moment of their lives, not only before they go to sleep, not only on Erev Rosh Chodesh. The second he said Shimona Morim, he realized, shouldn't have said that. What do you think he did after he said Shemona Morim? He made Teshuvah on the spot. You have a question if Moshe Rabbeinu is making the Teshuvah? The Gemara says if the Tamir Aka made a sin during the day or during the night, don't suspect him in the morning. Vaday Asat Teshuvah. When the Tzaddik speaks Lashon Hara, when does he make Teshuvah? Right after he speaks. Oh! But I say, Chatat Avinu Vajan. After Moshe Rabbeinu said Shemona Hamorim, what did he say? Hatati, Aviti, Pashati. But did you know what he said? Rabbotai, listen to the big Hadush on the same. He said, but my mouth now already is pagum. He said, already the mouth that just made a sin, how is that mouth going to bring water out of the rock? The mouth is pagum, and therefore I need to find an alternate method. Therefore, I need to use the stick because the mouth already has avera. And Borei Olam comes along and says, "Lo he'emantin, you didn't believe that teshuvah works, Moshe."
Wow.
Once you said Shemona Hamorim and you said Hatati Aviti Pashati, it never happened. You could have still talked. You would have made a tremendous kiddush Hashem. Now by doing this and the people are watching you, they're getting the message that maybe Teshuvah. For this, I have to put the biggest punishment on you so this doesn't get past the people. The people have to know this was a big avon. This over here, you could have made such a kiddush Hashem that the people would realize that the sin is erased through Teshuvah. But the fact that you use an alternate method, you sent the message to Am Yisrael, that after you make the sin and you make the shuvah, not the same anymore. No. If you would have spoke, they would have said, wow, this is there's hope for us. There's a tikkun for us. And therefore, this could be another lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu to teach the people, or that's without telling us this sin. Now, I must say, we didn't come over here to talk about the sins of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't even know what it is, the truth of the matter is. The Torah is called the Mashal. It says in the books, the Navi calls the Torah Mashal Kadmoni. Why is the Torah called the Mashal? Explanation is like this. The Torah wrote words. And the words have understanding for every generation. But we have to understand the Torah for us, if the Torah wrote it this way, to draw out lessons that are practical for each generation. Does that mean that that's what happened? We don't know what happened. But why would the Torah write it in such a way? Ela must be coming to tell us. I'm saying a big Hadush Mahal to learn the Torah. That means ultimately we're going to go after 120 years, you're going to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the sin? You're going to hear something, who knows, different maybe. No problem. But why did the Torah write it in this way? Because he knew that Rambam is going to understand it this way, and he's going to understand it that way, and all the lessons of each one of these rabbis is practical for us. This is teaching you can't misrepresent. This is teaching us you can't do this. You can't teshuvah. So therefore, the mashal is written in this lashon. Why couldn't God tell us explicitly? Because he wanted all these morals to come out of the. To come out of the story. So that's why it's called like a Mashal Kadmoni. The Torah specifically wrote it to allow the flexibility of the interpretation. But you shouldn't think of the Shalom that even if you give all these interpretations, that now we understand the Hayta. Well, how are you going to understand the Hayta Moshe Rabbeinu? You cannot understand the Hayta Moshe Rabbeinu if you lived to 10,000 years. Moshe Rabbeinu was Malacha Elohim. How's a mortal guy eating peanuts and eat coffee? And we're going to now come along like critics. He did this, he talked, he screamed, he yelled. He said, oh, what are you talking? And I'm going to go golf. That's how much you care about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kodesh Kodashim. So anything that we're saying over here is just as a the Torah allowed us to, what you write it. And then you wrote it to us to grant some practical in every single generation. In our generation, the mashal of this story is that after you make a sin and you say, I'm sorry, nothing happens. And therefore the same mouth that spoke Lashon Hara, after you say Hatati, is the same mouth that can go pray to Borei Olam. Don't believe the Satan when he says, the mouth that spoke Lashon Hara said Hatati, don't pray that morning. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. 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 Amen.